If you're looking for a Christmas gift for a child, grandchild, or godchild ages 2 through 7, purchase the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for December, Angel, Angel, What Do You See? Follow Mary and Joseph, the donkey, the innkeeper, and the shepherds to discover that this special baby is the Savior, born for you and me. Learn more about Angel, Angel, What Do You See? By calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, or at issuesetc.org. Angel, Angel, What Do You See?
You know, Barack Obama didn't get to be the President of the United States without being ordained by God. Neither did Donald Trump.
I care about this because my faith teaches me that salvation has to do with how I make myself useful to those who have been excluded, marginalized, and cast aside and oppressed in society.
I am the God who created you. Trust me. I am the God who loved you from before the foundation of the world. And I am the God who has redeemed you from sin. Trust me. Don't you know that I have the power to judge you and throw you into the flames? And the martyrs would say, yeah, your flames will last probably 30 minutes. But the one who will judge you has flames that last forever.
Greetings. I listen to Issues Etc. while building things in my wood shop here in Michigan. And Issues Etc. helps me to build up my faith in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Well, the numbers do not look good for the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. They have been participating willingly, anxiously, in an overall decline in mainline liberal Protestantism. They're headed the same direction, perhaps at an even faster pace than other denominations of their theological ilk. And that has brought with it a 50-year decline in the numbers of mainline Protestant denominations. Now, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America is not 50 years old. It's very young compared to that, but it has never grown. Started out at 5 million people. It's down to 2-something million people. And it's projected, even by its own numbers that were published recently, to more or less fizzle out of existence by 2041. What should we learn from this? What should we understand about the decline of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America? Greetings and welcome back to Issues Etc., coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We'll be talking with Dr. Robert Benet, author of a column for First Things titled ELCA Hits Bottom, in a little bit about the membership declines by their own projections, the membership declines and the prediction of extinction on the part of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, here in about a half hour. In the meantime, we're going to go through listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line. That email address is talkback@issuesetc.org and the comment line 618-223-8382.
Email, shall we?
Shall we?
Shall we?
We shall.
Hashtag we shall. Stafford listens in Minnesota. He has three questions for you. We'll take them one at a time. Why did Issues Etc. arrange an interview with Kerry Severino concerning Justice Kavanaugh? Isn't this just a political story, not so much a Lutheran theology and life story? Why was this segment included?
Well, I think it's very much a Lutheran theology and life story, and let's never divide those two things from one another, as though there's a distinction in the Lutheran confession between our theology and our life. They're always held together. One informs the other. You live the way you believe. Some people can call that a worldview. You can quibble with that term, but I think it's a useful term here. There is a Lutheran worldview that is intimately woven into and drawn out of our theology, so we don't isolate those two. But I can think of three good reasons for discussing the recent confirmation hearings and the controversy that surrounded it with regard to Brett Kavanaugh. One is the unborn. Two is marriage. And the third is religious liberty, all three of which Lutherans have a stake in. Our theology informs what we believe and practice regarding the unborn, marriage, and our theology and practice depends, at least the ability to do the practice part depends a lot on the issue of religious liberty. So those are the three reasons we were watching the Kavanaugh hearings so closely when they were happening. and also why we had Carrie Severino back on to give us a little update on kind of the truthfulness of the controversy that was there. We had actually talked with Molly Hemingway, her co-author, at an earlier date about these, and I think we were getting updates on it as well. But we wanted to be able to address something that directly bears upon all Christians. All Christians should be concerned about the issues of life and marriage and religious liberty, all three of which were, to one degree or another, hanging in the balance with this confirmation.
And life doesn't, of course, just include the unborn. It's end of life as well.
Absolutely. From beginning to end.
Question two from Stafford. In connection to the first question, why does Issues Etc. heavily rely on writers from the Federalists for their interviews and segments?
Well, part of that is a Jeff question, because Jeff is the one who actually schedules our guests and plans out the broadcast day. Here's just a short list of the staff and senior contributors there at the Federalist that are confessional Lutherans. There's Mark and Molly Hemingway, Joy Pullman, she's actually the managing editor, Emily Jashinsky, Hans Feeney, Holly Shear, Lyman Stone. Those names our regular listeners will be familiar with, not only from listening to Issues Etc., but also if they read the Federalist. These are confessional Lutherans who are taking that Lutheran worldview, that Lutheran ethos, a way of being and thinking and acting out there in the public square. They're applying those things. They're applying their Lutheran theology to their individual vocations, and they're writing about it, and they're thinking about it. So I ask, why wouldn't we have them on?
Third, the reason I ask is that while I do not listen to every program Issues Etc. puts out there, I am noticing that many of the segments involve political/culture war topics mixed in with useful and edifying Lutheran theology segments. Why is this the case? Thank you for your time and consideration, concludes Stafford in Minnesota.
The short answer to that, and the less consequential answer, is this is what Issues Etc. has always been for more than two decades. We've always had expansive topics, expert guests, extolling Christ. So we've always had a broad range of topics, things that are top of mind. Sometimes we'll talk about something simply because it is top of mind. And some of those things include what people consider to be political or cultural issues. But again, back to that warning, not to divide our theology away from our lives. And not to say, well, we have these theological positions, and in some way, to kind of truly be Lutheran, we're just going to kind of hide away in our theology and not address these issues that have a direct bearing on many things that Scripture addresses. Lutheran theology is much bigger than simply the doctrine of justification. The doctrine of justification is its heart, is its soul, is its lifeblood. But it doesn't stop with the doctrine of justification. There are all sorts of other doctrines, teachings, beliefs, and practices that orbit around the center of gravity that is the doctrine of justification, and are given their movement by those things. So what we want to always maintain is that theology actually has consequences. If you listen on later today, you're going to hear us have a conversation with Dr. Robert Benny, and he's going to talk about, near the end of the conversation, he's going to talk about gospel reductionism. And we're talking about the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, a church that has been reduced to kind of social justice warrior ethics. And how did it get there? The answer is gospel reductionism. It said the only thing that matters in our theology is the gospel, and everything else is kind of up for grabs. And what have they done? They've done two things. They've let the culture teach them everything else. And in the course of doing that, they've actually abandoned the gospel. The gospel becomes something that isn't the gospel anymore. You cannot say, we're just going to keep this thing. Now, I'm not saying that that's what our emailer is advocating, but I'm saying for those who are uncomfortable with addressing topics in our everyday life, in our world, in the news, because somehow that doesn't have anything to do with the gospel, I say, yes, it does. Yes, it does. Does everything in the news have something to do with the gospel? Not necessarily. You know, when a celebrity changes their hair color, I don't think we have a thus saith the Lord on anything like that. But how we view our world, how we act in our world, how we speak and write in our world, how we interact with everyone around us, it grows out of that gospel. And when you say, well, we're just going to isolate the gospel away from all those other things, why are you talking about that? Isn't there something more important to talk about, like the gospel? The gospel is always the most important thing to talk about, but it's not the only thing that God's word gives us to confess. So we're trying to make the broadest confession we can, bringing along those guests who do that broad confession as well.
And of course, the devil, the world, and our sinful flesh hate God's word. All of it.
All
That's
of
just
it.
The gospel-y
right.
part.
Right. They, the devil, world, and the sinful flesh are constantly at work out there in the world and in our hearts and in our families and in our minds. They're always at work to undermine everything God says, not just one thing God says. Is the devil's ultimate goal the gospel? Of course it is. But along the way, he's going to dismantle everything else. This is why he has taken captive denominations like the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. He has convinced them, the spirit of this age has convinced them, that they can somehow keep the gospel and abandon the rest of God's word. And so what has happened? They've, in the process of doing that, also abandoned the gospel itself.
Mike writes, I listen to your on-demand archives as I drive to work. The past couple days, I have been unable to close the new Donate pop-up app that appears when I go to the on-demand archives page, even though I access the page using the LPR app. My iPhone 8 has the latest iOS, and I also tried rebooting it, but I still cannot close the pop-up ad. So neither of those things should be causing the problem either. Thanks for any help you can provide, and thank you for listening, Mike.
Well, Mike, I had exactly the same problem. And we had heard from some listeners about this problem with being able to even see the close button for that little pop-up ad that appears there asking for your year-end donations, which we do so sincerely ask for. And I think we were able to remedy the situation. I couldn't even see the button itself. I just saw the pop-up ad and it wouldn't give me any means of closing it. So thanks for alerting us to us. And as far as we know, it is fixed. We do want to hear if you have any trouble with the app, no matter how what it may be, if you have any trouble with the website, these kind of things, we want to hear from you. You are not wasting our time by telling us about this because we want to be able to bring it to you as easily and with as few clicks of the mouse or your finger, taps of the finger, as absolutely possible. When we come back from this break, a little bit more listener email, the Issues Etc. comment line. Stay tuned.
All of his promises have been fulfilled. And how have they been fulfilled for you? Through God walking into the room.
Pastor Hans Feeney speaking at this year's Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
Through Jesus coming to you with his flesh and his blood and God bringing all of his glory into your presence, even though it's hidden from your eyes, and declaring to you, you are now mine. You are not a failure. You are not a sinner. You are not lost or condemned. You are my beloved brother, purchased through the flesh and the blood that are now feeding you. God has come into the room.
You can listen to Pastor Hans Feeney's teaching, Making the Case for the Lord's Supper, on a recording from our 2019 Making the Case Conference. For a year-end tax-deductible contribution of $300, we'll send you a conference audio recording and a recording of the Hymns of the Day for the Advent and Christmas seasons featuring the Lutheran Public Radio Choir. Order today at issuesetc.org.
Luther had Wartburg. We have Collinsville. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Saving faith is a living, creative, active, and powerful thing, Martin Luther writes. How can it not be? It is created by our loving God through his living words and life-giving deeds. Living Faith Lutheran Church is located at 1171 Atlanta Highway in Cumming, Georgia. Come train in God's word with us for the baptized life in our adult catechumenate. Find out more on the web at livingfaithlutheran.com.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and laypeople worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy publishes Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatic Series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up to receive their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com, and like them on Facebook, facebook.com/Luther Academy.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're going through listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line. In about 15 minutes or so, Dr. Robert Benny joins us, Professor Emeritus of Religion and Philosophy at Roanoke College. We're going to discuss membership projections and really the projected extinction of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America.
Here's a rather lengthy email from David. I just tipped off Craig coming out of the break. Keep your finger on the F8 key.
Would you like because you're going to
tell our listeners what the F8 key is?
The F8 key is a key that while the tape is rolling, it's not tape, it's digital, the F8 key puts a marker on the recorded file, the visual of the recorded file, the WAV file, that is an or a mispronunciation. It's the way Craig keeps track of what he needs to edit after it's all said and done. It's why you hear so few ums, ahs, and mispronunciations from both me and our guests, because Craig puts a mark when one of those things occurs in real time, and then he takes them all out.
Lengthy email plus Jeff Schwarz reading equals
many taps of the F8 key.
Many F8 key taps, correct. David writes, thank you for all you do to keep us Lutherans on the straight and narrow of Lutheran doctrine and all Christian listeners educated in proper Christendom. As a baptized Lutheran Church Missouri Synod member all of my life and an elder for 20 years, I have an issue that's caused me too much anxiety over the past 6 months. The matter of closed communion. I believe that if we are a Lutheran church, then we ought to adhere to the practice of closed communion as the Lutheran church founders and ancient church fathers abided by. My current pastor, though very caring, is not sure of this practice and communes members of other denominations and non-members so long as they profess the true presence of body and blood in the elements. He feels that it is unloving to not commune souls who desire so just because they are not Lutheran. He cites Luther's words in the Small Catechism on who is worthy to partake. I'm growing weary of this issue. However, being an elder, I can only follow along during the Lord's Supper. I voiced my concerns enough. A few things strike me. One, Luther either wrote or published a Small Catechism in 1529. I believe that this was the same time as his debate and rejection of Zwingli's position on the Eucharist. I also believe that this was before Calvin's position that Christ cannot be present in the elements as Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Thus, it is symbolic and we spiritually ascend to Christ in heaven instead, end quote, which begs the question. How can man be at two places at once, but Christ cannot? But I digress.
That's a good point.
So to the crux of the matter, with one case in point, should an LCMS church commune a Reformed or Presbyterian member who professes the true presence? Furthermore, how can a Christian of a Reformed denomination believe two things about this? If I truly believe in the true presence, then there is no way I could be a member of a church that professes a different belief. I'm confused, but need to cut, bait, or fish real soon. Thanks, concludes David.
Okay, you're not confused at all. You have answered your own question, and you've done it very well. First of all, let me commend you for going to your pastor on this issue and making repeated attempts to apparently instruct him on this, something that he not only ought to know, but ought to be practicing. Because there's, first of all, as a pastor of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and there's a lot of mischief on this issue, but he has an obligation and a duty to practice closed communion. He is in violation of his ordination vows in doing this, and the agreement that he has made to abide by the teachings and the practices of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. So that's a serious problem. Pastorally, it's irresponsible, cowardly, just to say, well, look, Luther says, who's worthy and well-prepared? Those who have faith in these words given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. We do not take a minimalist approach here. We don't say, well, the catechism just appears to set this bar at this bare minimum and then ignore everything Scripture has to say about it and everything else the Lutheran confessions have to say about it. If you're going to quote the Catechism, then you're all in on the Lutheran Confessions, and the Lutheran Confessions make it very clear that the fellowship of the altar, which is a separate issue from personal worthy reception, the fellowship of the altar has more than one element to it. It has not only what the person believes, but what they confess as well. And that's why your second question there near the end of your email is so brilliant, because someone may walk in, and let's say they're a Baptist, they may walk in and say at the moment to the pastor, oh yes, I believe that Christ is truly present in the Lord's Supper. First of all, you don't know what they mean by that. Not by the simple ticking of a box or a 2-second conversation with the pastor in the narthex. You do not know what they believe about that. Much less if you say, do you believe Jesus' words, this is my body, this is my blood? They'll say, yes, of course I believe Jesus' words. Of course, they might mean that they believe this isn't my body and this isn't my blood. And a thoroughgoing Baptist would believe that. And you ask so rightly that how could they say they believe that here and then go back to their Baptist church and commune where the body and blood of Christ are denied? So fellowship of the altar, admission to the Lord's Supper, has more than one element. It not only is what the person says they believe, it's also what they really believe. If they really believe in the true presence of Christ there, then before communing at an altar where that is confessed, they will disassociate themselves from membership in a church or a congregation that denies that. If they really believe as Lutherans believe. But let me just kind of lay it on the line here. Most of the time when you get in conversations like this with pastors who do not have the courage to practice closed communion, the arguments they make are just excuses. It's that simple. They don't want to take the effort, the awkward moments, the courage that it takes to do this hard thing. And it is a hard thing to say no. And so they'll throw up a few flimsy arguments that sound Lutheran. They may even quote the Catechism and misapplying it to the situation. And hope that you kind of, your eyes glaze over and you say, well, that sounded Lutheran, and walk away and say, I guess that open communion is not such a bad thing. Go with your conscience here, dear parishioner. You might have one more conversation with your pastor and say, I'm going to try one more time to see if I can push you back toward your pastoral duty and responsibility here. But as you say, at some point, you do have to fish or cut bait.
Jason resides in Jamestown, North Carolina. He has an excellent question. Is giving to issues, etc., giving also to your new podcast with Pastor Will Wheaton, The Word of the Lord Endures Forever? Is there a separate account? If giving to the Word of the Lord is through issues, etc., I will increase my giving amount, or send me a link to give to Will Wheaton's Bible study. Thanks for listening, and thanks for your support, Jason in North Carolina.
So The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a podcast produced by Lutheran Public Radio, and Lutheran Public Radio is also producing Issues, Etc. There's a unified budget. So the money that comes in for one or the other all goes in the same place, but we really, really do need and want to be able to keep track of who's giving what to whom and why. We really want to be able to do that so we know how these various operations that we have going are supporting themselves. So you can give to one or both or to either, and the money does go all to the same place. It's a unified budget, but we do like to be able to track what people are supporting. And that's why it's so important that we have we do have a way to give at both places, issues, et cetera, and at The Word of the Lord Endures Forever. That website, by the way, thewordendures.org, there's a very prominent donate section that is there. We are at the very end of our year. And as of today, according to the latest numbers, we're $123,000 short of 2019 expenses. Our listeners have always stepped up and supported us and ended every year for us in the black. We've taken on a big obligation with The Word of the Lord Endures Forever. We've added a lot to our budget in doing this, but we're confident that our listeners are going to be able to push us across the line by December 31st. And as we have for, what is it going to be now, 12 years running? Is that right? 12, 13 years running, ending the year in the black. Listeners have always been able to do it for us. So if you have any questions about donations, just give us a call, 618-223-8385, 618-223-8385. You can donate at issuesetc.org. There's all sorts of ways to do that. Or you can send your checks to Issues Etc., Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. By the way, in thanks for any gift exceeding $300 in the last weeks of the year, we're going to send you a CD of Advent and Christmas hymns from the Lutheran Public Radio Choir, 15 of them, and an audio DVD of the 2019 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
The great thing about this CD, which was produced by Cantor Kevin Hildebrand at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, it contains every hymn of the day for the Advent and Christmas season. So if you're a one-year lectionary church or a three-year lectionary church, every single hymn of the day, that's the hymn usually right before the sermon, right? Every hymn of the day, all 15, will be on this new recording of Advent and Christmas hymns.
For years and years, we talked about doing this, recording unrecorded hymns and recording hymns of the day and things like that, hymns in accord with the church year. And one thing that frustrates me about a lot of recordings of hymns is that they're heavy on instrumentation or organ. You can't hear the words. You can't understand the words. Well, we specifically told both Kevin Hildebrand and Christopher Gillespie, who's doing the recording for us, look, we want a sound that you can hear the voices, you can understand the words, and it's very clear. And they have given us that. They are really, really excellent recordings. They are world-class recordings of these Advent and Christmas hymns.
One more email. Julie. Hi, Pastor Todd. I absolutely love this Bible time resource you are putting onto the internet here. And being the YouTube watching millennial that I am so appreciative that you not only broadcast episodes about learning the Bible, hymns, and church history, but you also speak the truth through issues like politics, Kanye West's conversion, feminism, Planned Parenthood, etc. Thank you. I need this resource in my life so badly. I haven't been able to find any other resource quite like your show that conquers issues from a confessional Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod viewpoint. Praise be to God. I listen to this program while I'm getting ready for work in the morning and or while I'm eating breakfast, going for a walk, etc. Thank you, Lord, and please bless Pastor Todd in this online podcast to grow and grow. Sadly, nowadays, there are so many LCMS churches that are LCMS in name only, and they don't really preach like an LCMS church at all. So this resource also helps me greatly as my husband and I search for a church home here in Phoenix. We're going to use the Find a Church feature on your website because we trust Issues, etc. Blessings to you and your family in Christ Jesus our Lord. Sincerely and joyfully, Julie.
Julie, thank you very much. It's very nice to hear that. And Julie, if you have any trouble finding a faithful confessional Lutheran congregation in the Phoenix area, as you probably already know, don't trust the sign outside. You must trust but verify. You might waste a couple Sunday mornings going to bad churches, but if you want some help, give Lynn a call here at the office and she can track things down for you. She's super connected and she knows where, she could probably give you the address of almost every single supporting congregation of Issues, etc., and even ones that aren't on the list. 618-223-8385. Just ask for Lynn. She usually answers the phone anyway. And just tell her who you are, what you're looking for, and she'll give you all the help she can. We'll be right back talking with Dr. Robert Benne about the decline of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. If you're looking for a Christmas gift for a child, grandchild, or godchild ages 2 through 7, purchase the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for December, Angel, Angel, What Do You See? Follow Mary and Joseph, the donkey, the innkeeper, and the shepherds to discover that this special baby is the Savior, born for you and me. Learn more about Angel, Angel, What Do You See? By calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, or at issuesetc.org. Angel, Angel, What Do You See?
Pedal Pushers is the Lutheran Federal Credit Union Ministry of the Month for December.
Pedal Pushers decorates the Lutheran Hour Ministries float for the Tournament of Roses Parade. When you use your Lutheran FCU debit or credit card for a qualifying amount of purchases, they'll give you cash back and give that same amount of money to Pedal Pushers. Learn more at LutheranFCU.org. Good for you, good for the church. Lutheran Federal Credit Union, LutheranFCU.org.
Ed Crusum offers Bible-based, Christ-focused Christmas ornaments in various sizes for church and home. Use our Jesse Tree collection to teach your children this Advent and see our new premium ornaments, a crucifixion tableau, angel and shepherds, the Holy Family, Epiphany, and much more. Visit adcrusum.com for unique and theologically sound greeting cards, jewelry, gifts, churchwares, banners, certificates, and housewares. That's adcrusum.com.
The Simply Classical curriculum for special needs moves at my child's pace and gives her exactly what she needs. So writes Amber, a homeschooling mother who has joined thousands in homes and schools teaching from this uniquely Christian classical approach to special education. Teach students with autism, learning disabilities, or Down syndrome based on ability level rather than chronological age. Use promo code LPR20 today at classicalspecialneeds.com. Classicalspecialneeds.com.
Confessional Lutherans, we've got your back. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Not only does our church need men right now, but the world needs men who will proclaim the gospel in its purity.
Issues Etc. regular guest, Dr. Peter Scare, Associate Professor of New Testament at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
If when you go to sleep at night you're thinking about it, my experience with it is this, is that thought won't go away. So if you're going to bed at night thinking about following our Lord and becoming a preacher of this gospel, then I would love if you could come and visit Fort Wayne, our campus. We'd love to show you around and show you what it is that we do.
Have you ever considered becoming a pastor? Contact Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana at 1-800-481-2155, 800-481-2155, or visit ctsfw.edu. Christ-centered, cross-focused, Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.